There are moments when we react before we have time to think. And in those moments, what comes out is not always good. As human beings, we were designed with instincts to help us stay alive. If something flies towards your face, you don't have to think about it. You flinch, you raise your hands, you protect your eyes. That instinct is wired into us. But because of sin, even these God-given instincts of self-preservation can cause us to react in ways that we're not proud of. For instance, when somebody is verbally attacking us, using harsh words and a hostile tone, our natural inclination is either to give it right back or to go on the defensive. When this happens, we say things that are hurtful. We allow fear or anger to control us, and we act in ways that we later regret. Think about the last time that you were in a heated conversation. How did it escalate? Being under pressure exposes what has been there all along. Like a tea bag steeped in hot water, the heat draws out what has been steeping inside our hearts. And when that pressure comes, what comes out of us is often self-protection, not self-denial. And that leads us to the heart of our passage today. In every trial, we are faced with a choice: deny ourselves for Christ or deny Christ for the sake of self-preservation. In this latter part of Mark 14, we see two men under pressure. One reacts instinctively, protecting himself. The other willingly denies himself, telling the truth, no matter the cost. As we get ready to turn there, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word this morning, we pray for your Holy Spirit to open our eyes, open our hearts to receive your word this morning, that you may continue to transform us into the image of your Son, Jesus, to be like him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 14, verses 53 through 72. Then they led Jesus away to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes gathered together. And Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the officers and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were seeking to obtain testimony against Jesus to put him to death, and they were not finding any. For many were giving false testimony against him, but their testimony was not consistent. And some, standing up, were giving false testimony against him, saying, "We ourselves heard him say, 'I will destroy this sanctuary made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands.' And not even in this way was their testimony consistent. And the high priest stood up in their midst and questioned Jesus, saying, 'You answer nothing? What are these men testifying against you?' But he kept silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest was questioning him and said to him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?' And Jesus said, 'I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' And tearing his tunics, the high priest said, 'What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. How does it seem to you?' And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. And some began to spit at him, and to blindfold him, and to beat him with their fists, and to say to him, 'Prophesy.' And the officers received him with slaps in the face. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with the Nazarene Jesus.' But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are talking about. And he went out into the entryway. And when the servant girl saw him, she began once more to say to the bystanders, This is one of them. But again, he was denying it. And after a little while, the bystanders were again saying to Peter, Surely you are one of them, for you are also a Galilean. But he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man you are talking about. And immediately a rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said the statement to him, Before a rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And throwing himself down, he began to cry. Tension is continuing to build as we get closer and closer to the cross. Jesus is on trial with the religious elite and is now looking at a death sentence. The disciples are nowhere to be seen except for Peter, who does everything he can to distance himself from Jesus, both physically and relationally. And not to be overlooked, our gospel writer Mark has given us another sandwich, an inner story and an outer story. He uses this technique to make a stark contrast between Peter and Jesus in this passage. One is a story of self-defensiveness. The other is a story of self-denial. Beginning with Peter, we see how he responds under pressure in verse 54 and verses 66 through 72. It's not good. As Jesus' disciples desert him, just as he predicted, Peter follows at a distance. But if you noticed, he's more focused on sitting by the fire to stay warm than on staying close to Jesus. Peter wants proximity without the cost, association without identification. Close enough to Christ to feel safe, far enough away to avoid consequence. This is a posture that looks spiritual on the surface, but fails under pressure. It's the human instinct to protect ourselves when following Christ could bring conflict, shame, or loss. This fair-weather kind of Christianity is a large reason why we have so many self-professing Christians in this nation, but not a lot of spiritual fruit to show for it. It's like in the parable of the soils, where the seed falls on rocky soil and isn't able to establish deep roots. So when the scorching heat of pressure comes, it withers away. In other words, it's a weak brand of Christianity. As we look at Peter in this passage, we can't forget what he said to Jesus earlier in this chapter. He promised that he would never fall away. He said he would even die rather than deny him. But that's not what we see in this passage. We see the exact opposite. Peter wrote a check he couldn't cash, and his promises were spiritually bankrupt. All it took was a servant girl to put a little pressure on him, and Peter just fell apart. He denies again, and lies. He even proceeds to curse and swear. He acted on his instinct for self-preservation, and it cost him his faithfulness before Christ. All Peter cared about in that moment was preserving his own skin, nothing more. No loyalty to Christ, just fear and self-defense. The same tongue that first confessed Jesus as the Messiah is the same tongue that vehemently denied him. That's the point for us today. When trials come, when pressure rises, when speaking the truth or living faithfully might cost us our comfort, convenience, or our reputation, our natural instinct is to protect ourselves. Like Peter, we can retreat, We can let fear rule us. We can choose safety over faithfulness, protecting ourselves instead of standing with Christ. When we choose self-preservation over self-denial, we're denying Jesus. And we don't have to be arrested or face a hostile crowd to do it. We deny him when we stay silent instead of speaking the truth. We deny him when we avoid the hard conversations with family, friends, or neighbors about what the Bible teaches and calling them to repentance. We deny him when we water down our gospel witness in order to fit in, or when we make excuses for our own sin. Every time fear, convenience, or shame guides our choices instead of faithfulness, we are, in a sense, following Peter's path, denying Christ to save ourselves. As we saw in verse 72, the rooster crows. Peter's failure is exposed. He remembers what Jesus said. Tears flow. But he can't fix this on his own. Restoration will only come through Christ. That's why we need the gospel. That's why we need the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to transform us into the image of Christ. Left to our own strength, our instinct is always to protect ourselves. Our flesh is weak. Our courage is small. Our faithfulness falters under pressure. But by the Holy Spirit, God supplies what we need for obedience. He empowers us to deny ourselves, to resist the pull of fear and self-preservation, and to stand faithful in Christ, even when the cost is high. And we're reminded, as we saw last week, that Christ is our faithfulness. In our passage today, Mark has been telling two stories at once, an outer story and an inner story. The outer story shows Peter, a disciple, under pressure, failing. The inner story shows Jesus, fully faithful, standing firm under the same pressure. Peter denied Christ to save himself. Jesus, in the same moment, denies himself for the sake of others, to carry out his mission. Jesus faces injustice, false accusations, and soon, even death. Yet, he speaks the truth boldly. This is the contrast Mark wants us to see as we move from the outer story of Peter's failure to the inner story of Jesus' faithfulness. In verses 55 through 65, we find Jesus standing before the high priest and the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of Israel. This council was made up of 70 men, led by the high priest, and held tremendous power over the people, though the Romans alone could carry out a death sentence. Humanly speaking, this would have been intimidating for anyone. And to make matters worse, this trial shows little concern for justice. It was a setup from the start. They were not seeking truth. They were seeking a charge. But they run into a problem. Their witnesses can't agree. Their accusations contradict one another. Lies pile on top of lies, and still nothing sticks. And all the while, Jesus remains silent, like a sheep being led to the slaughter. None of this is happening by accident. God is accomplishing what he promised. Everything unfolding this night is happening exactly as God ordained. The Psalms had spoken of this long before. False witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. Malicious witnesses rise up asking me of things I do not know. Jesus is the righteous sufferer of the Psalms, the innocent one condemned by lies. As the high priest presses him again for an answer, Jesus remains silent. And once more, Scripture is fulfilled. Isaiah tells us, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Jesus' silence isn't weakness, it's obedience. It's self-denial, not self-defense. He could have refuted every charge. He could have outmatched the entire council, but he didn't. He remained silent until the moment came when silence would no longer serve the Father's will. Then the high priest asks him directly, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus answers, "I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven." With those words, Jesus doesn't merely affirm that he is the Messiah. He identifies himself with the God who spoke from the burning bush. And he goes further still. He draws from Daniel 7, "The Son of Man who comes with the clouds of heaven, who receives everlasting dominion and glory." He draws from Psalm 110, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." In other words, Jesus tells the high priest, "You are judging the one who will judge you." This is why the high priest tears his robes. In his mind, this is blasphemy. According to Leviticus 24, blasphemy deserves death. And so Jesus is condemned, not for lying, but for telling the truth. Isaiah foresaw this as well. He writes, "By oppression and judgment, he was taken away." And here's the great irony. Jesus is guilty of nothing except faithfulness. He denies himself. He submits to the Father's will. He walks the path that leads to the cross, not for his own preservation, but for our redemption. Even as he is mocked and spit upon, Scripture is being fulfilled. "I gave my back to those who strike me. I did not hide my face from disgrace and spitting." This is the point Mark wants us to see. Christ is our faithfulness. Where Peter failed under pressure, Jesus stood firm. Where Peter denied to save himself, Jesus confessed, knowing it would cost him his life. Jesus succeeds where we fail. And through his self-denial, he gives his life as a ransom for many. For most of us, faithfulness won't require martyrdom, but it will require daily allegiance. It looks like speaking biblical truth, even when it disrupts relational peace. It looks like refusing silence when Christ is dishonored. It looks like choosing obedience over reputation and faithfulness over comfort. Self-denial isn't always something big and dramatic. It can often be small and quiet. It's choosing obedience, even though self-defense would be easier. It's trusting God with the outcome instead of trying to control it ourselves. Peter fell because he relied on the wrong things. He relied on past zeal. He relied on personal courage. He relied on emotional resolve. And these are the very things we are tempted to trust in ourselves if we're not careful. Jesus was able to stand firm because he trusted the Father's will. He trusted the certainty of the resurrection. He rested in the promise of vindication as prophesied throughout Scripture. Faithfulness doesn't flow from self-determination, but from abiding dependence on the living God. And because the gospel is true, we find comfort knowing that Christ's faithfulness covers our failures. Peter denied Jesus, and Jesus went to the cross for Peter. Peter failed under pressure. Jesus remained faithful unto death. Jesus' self-denial made a way for Peter to be restored. Our hope isn't that we'll always be brave and get it right. Our hope is that Christ was perfectly faithful on our behalf. His obedience covers our failure. His faithfulness secures our forgiveness. His grace and mercy restores us. This passage confronts us with a question we can't avoid. In every trial, we will either deny ourselves for Christ or deny Christ for the sake of self-preservation. It's that simple. Peter shows us the danger of leaning on our own strength. He trusted past zeal, personal courage, and emotional resolve, and he fell. He denied Christ to protect himself. Jesus shows us the pattern of true faithfulness. He denied himself, remained faithful under pressure, and trusted the Father completely. He stood when Peter fell. And here's the good news. We do not face this choice alone. The same Spirit who raised Jesus empowers us. The same Christ who is faithful for us intercedes for us. Even when we fail, his faithfulness covers us. Restoration is possible. Courage is possible. Obedience is possible. Not because of what we can muster, but because of what he has already done and continues to do in us. When fear or pressure comes, will we stand with Christ and deny ourselves, or protect ourselves and deny him? Self-defense or self-denial? Those are the choices. Church, let's be sure not to warm ourselves at the world's fire. Rather, let's stand with the one who stood for us, who stands for us now at the right hand of the Father, and who will never abandon those who rely on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your gospel. If our salvation depended on our ability to do the right thing, to keep your law, to be faithful to the end, if we tried to do that in our strength alone, we would fail. But God, we praise you that you did not leave us helpless. You made provision for our salvation through your Son Jesus on the cross, who bore our shame, took upon himself your wrath and judgment for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And God, you've given us your Holy Spirit to empower us to live and walk in obedience and to bear good spiritual fruit in our lives. God, I pray for this church that we would trust not in our own faithfulness, but in the faithfulness of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.